I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The ancient Greeks had two words for time, Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is chronological, the literal passing of days, hours, weeks. Kairos is something altogether different. It's translated as the supreme moment, where Chronos is measured, quantitative, the day-to-day, the continual rising and setting of the sun. Kairos is unmeasurable, qualitative. It's about the stuff that happens in between the minutes, both good and bad. It seems to contain the things that take place outside of time. Today, Jesus is preaching the stunning and eloquent Sermon on the Mount in our gospel reading from Matthew. And the portion that we read today, it appears he's taking a little break from weighty theological teaching and giving us some very nice practical life advice, in which he says, don't rely on earthly wealth, don't be anxious, don't worry. I'm a person that tends toward anxiety. I find the craziest things to worry about. It's not unusual in my household for about 3 o'clock in the morning for me to sit upright in bed and wake up and nudge my husband awake and say, I forgot to send that email. I'm a worrier. Is anybody else here a worrier? Anybody else tend toward anxiety? Can I get an amen? Thank you. So you have to understand that when I hear this teaching from Jesus in Matthew, it sounds a whole lot like Jesus is speaking a foreign language. What do you mean, don't store up treasures on earth? Does that mean I shouldn't plan for the future? I shouldn't have a savings account and a retirement plan? What do you mean, don't be anxious, consider the lilies of the field, don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear? Does that mean that I shouldn't attend to my daily needs, the needs of my family, the needs for security and for support? What's going on here? Because we live in the world of Chronos, paying bills, making food, setting the alarm clock. The demands of time push and pull us through our days. And even if you aren't a detailed person, even if you've never worn a watch in your life, you can't deny that we are a society that is fixed on the almighty hour. Have you ever caught yourself apologizing to a friend for being late or for leaving a party early? Well, that's because we value time and we value other people's time. We made it a value of our culture. We see it as an objective reality, something that can be measured and counted. We even start to believe from a very young age that time is ours to control. Just ask a child who has taken a time test on his multiplication tables and ask him why he didn't finish, and he will say, I didn't have enough time. And how many of us now find ourselves saying, if only there were more hours for me to have in the day. This is the world of Chronos, scrambling for more and more time, living out the demands of the clock. Chronos is just the way it is. It's simply who we are. We can't deny it. Chronos is the world's time. Kairos, on the other hand, is God's time. It's the reality that God lives in. It's the place of that supreme moment, the place of eternity. Kairos is grace, participating in the peace that surpasses understanding, a small inkling of eternity here and now on this earth, time without measure. And it's not meant to be the opposite of Chronos. It complements it. It follows us along our time-ruled lives in a parallel, as an invitation, Kairos, as an invitation to participate in the kingdom of God here and now, even while we live finite lives. So when Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, he's preaching from the perspective of one who lives in Kairos. Jesus is always attuned to God's time. And he uses examples in his sermon that speak to us about living in Kairos, in God's time. Look at the birds of the air, he says, or consider the lilies of the field. He's not just waxing eloquent about God's beautiful creation. He's inviting us to consider living in a different kind of time. Those birds and lilies are models for us, for how a child of God lives as a new creation in God's kingdom. And it doesn't mean that we're supposed to pretend like time doesn't matter. Those birds are still gathering twigs to make their nests warm for the winter. The lilies still reach their roots deep into the soil for water. The world will continue to turn on its axis, and we're not expected to deny our bodily needs. Feeding ourselves, feeding our children, clothing ourselves for warmth and protection, saving for the winter. It's all part of being a creature of Chronos. But it's when we let those needs take over that we forget about something deeper. We forget about Kairos. We start to forget that all those needs are really in God's hands anyway. And that kind of forgetfulness is really dangerous for the life of faith. When all we do is focus on our bank accounts and our mortgages and our busy schedules, we start serving two masters. We're called by Jesus to let go of worry and anxiety, not just because it's good for us and good for our blood pressures, but because worry and anxiety reveal that we are distracted and even distrustful of God's good work. Or to put it more bluntly, worry and anxiety are an insult to God. They reveal an allegiance to something other than God. And we are not called to live that way. We're called to live a life of trust in God, not a life of fear for worry of the future. We're to trust that in his good time, all things are being brought to their fullest completion. We're to adopt the words that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Jesus tells us not to live in worry, but to live in trust of him. To trust that he's making all things new, even now, even in the midst of everything that makes us fearful and worried for our futures. And we can't deny that we live in a world where worry and anxiety have taken over. We even have brothers and sisters among us who suffer from anxiety disorders. It's everywhere. And even if it's not that extreme for you, you can take your pick as the issue that brings you worry. A divisive national election, an act of terrorism, the death of someone that you love, We have a lot of reasons that we could doubt God's goodness, because that pain and suffering in our lives is very real. But we believe that God is bigger than all that pain. We believe in the God that takes that pain and transforms it and heals us. And this is what we mean when we say sometimes in the Eucharist that in the fullness of time, God will put everything in subjection under Christ. That fullness of time is kairos. And that's what we mean when we talk about being sent into the world with the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a statement of belief that there is a world that exists beyond our clocks, beyond our schedules, and beyond all of our anxious planning. And we even dare to believe that it's possible to live in that holy kind of time, in God's time, here on earth. So we have to practice. We have to practice living that belief. And I think we do that in a lot of different ways. Every time that we gather here for worship is a big way that we practice letting go of anxiety and worship. Our practice of liturgy here in the Episcopal Church is our training ground for kairos. When we're here, time stops. From the first sentence of that collect of the day to the last blessing, we are practicing living in God's time, not ours. In the space where we have everything that we need, we have holy community. We have holy communion that feeds us and nourishes us for the journey ahead. The best practices that put us in touch with God's kairos, God's time, are practices of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I thought our novices really modeled that really well for us this morning. Just look at those words of that anthem, that practice of thanksgiving. How can I give you thanks, O God, when you made the stars that shine so bright? If I learned to sing your praise all my days, I would just begin to thank you for the gift of grace. That's God's time. That is living in a place free of worry and anxiety. Those words remind us that God is in charge and not us. And in that is great freedom. So let's join our voices right now in song and in prayer as we worship the one who makes all things new, even tired, anxious creatures like ourselves. Let's use this liturgy as a way to live free from anxiety and worry. And let's offer our thanksgiving for all the ways that God transforms this earthly chronos time that we have and invites us to something bigger, invites us to participate in holy, sacred kingdom time. Amen.